MSO News, giving voice to the North Shore. This is North Shore Today for Tuesday, June 25, 2024, brought to you by Moynihan Lumber. Moynihan Lumber, supporting local news coverage and communities on the North Shore. I'm Rick Moore. Massachusetts defends access to abortion, push for a statewide ban on plastic bags, and the cause of a Sunday fire in Gloucester is determined to be accidental.
I'm Bill Newell, and a bit later in sports, Matt Williams of the Salem News will share some interesting highlight notes from Salem athletics this year. Rick?
Okay, Bill, thank you. Sunny mid-80s today, high tide, Gloucester Harbor, 2:46 p.m. State House reporter Christian Wade is reporting that Beacon Hill leaders are pledging to defend and expand access to abortion in Massachusetts as the nation marks the second anniversary of the Supreme Court's ruling overturning federal protections for the procedure. On Monday, Governor Maura Healey signed an executive order reaffirming that the state constitution, laws, and court rulings guarantee the right to an abortion in Massachusetts and that health care providers are required to ensure access to life-saving and emergency abortions. Christian Wade is also reporting that byproducts of a trip to the market and convenience store, plastic bags get a bad rap from environmentalists as wasteful consumables that litter oceans, parks, and beaches, and also take hundreds of years to break down. Voters in at least 160 cities and towns in Massachusetts, including Gloucester, Manchester-by-the-Sea, Newburyport, and Marblehead, have banned the bags or restricted their use. According to Christian Wade, others are considering limits, including lawmakers on Beacon Hill, who have revived a push for a statewide ban. The state Senate voted 38-2 Thursday to approve a bill that will ban single-use plastic bags and require retailers to charge customers 10 cents for a paper bag, among other initiatives to reduce plastic waste. The Newburyport Daily News is reporting that an 80-year-old woman has been identified as the victim of a four-alarm house fire Saturday night on East Main Street in Georgetown. Nancy Holbrook, who was trapped in a second-floor room, was pulled out of a window by a firefighter and carried down a ladder. She was rushed to Anna Jakes Hospital but later passed away, according to Georgetown Fire Chief Matt McKay. The fire's cause has yet to be determined. And Ethan Foreman is reporting in today's Gloucester Times, a two-alarm second-floor house fire Thursday afternoon at 71 Friend Street in Gloucester that claimed the lives of a family's pets while displacing 14 residents was accidental and electrical in nature, and he says that that's according to the state fire marshal's office. Fundraising efforts to help the displaced residents are underway. No injuries were reported as everyone was able to get out safely. And in the Daily Item today, Benjamin Pierce is writing that Swampscott Director of Finance and Administration Amy Sorrow and Town Treasurer Patrick Luddy have detailed two potential rate options for the town's water and sewer consumption for fiscal year 2025. The first rate option proposes a 7.5% increase to the water rate and a 19.5% increase to the sewer rate, while the second includes a 6.2% increase to the water rate and an 18.2% increase to the sewer rate. The two proposals would equate to estimates increased of $125 and $111 respectively in annual cost to the average homeowner. Since 2020, Swampscott's combined rate increase for sewer and water has not been more than 4% in any given year. Sports next with Bill Newell.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Yes, we are a full-service lumber yard, but we also offer doors and windows and kitchen cabinets. Please visit us in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Taparo Capital Management. It's time to craft your retirement plan. Click on the Taparo banner at the top right of our website and begin creating your winning game plan.
If you're a soap bar user and you're always annoyed by the fact that when you use your entire bar, you're stuck with this little sliver of soap that you don't know what to do with, hold on, because I think I have the solution for you. It's always a pain to have that little sliver of soap that we didn't really know how to use but didn't want to waste and throw away. So we invented this cute cube-shaped soap bar that then you can place your old little soap sliver right into. There's a carved out X in the center of the bar that then you can place your old soap sliver into. You just break up that little sliver into pieces that are two or three and it fits right inside. And bam, now you've got a brand new soap bar and you didn't have to waste anything. If that's something you're interested in and you want to support a sustainable small business, then head on over to our shop at xobath.com. You can buy one for yourself or give it as a gift. It ships anywhere in the United States, and you can get 20% off your first order.
Click on to the ExoBath banner at the top of our website. This is MSO Sports, bringing voice to the North Shore. The Red Sox keep winning. Last night, they score a run in the bottom of the ninth inning to beat the Blue Jays 7-6 at Fenway Park. That series continues tonight. Action continues today in the Agganis All-Star Games. It's the girls and boys soccer games. Starting this afternoon at Manning Field, it's the girls game at 5, followed by the boys game at 6:30. And tomorrow night, it's the 62nd annual Harry Agganis All-Star football game. Kickoff at 6 at Manning Field in Lynn. This week in the Salem News Sports Writers Podcast, we took a look at the entire school year for a few sports here on the North Shore. Matt Williams called out Salem High Athletics for three teams making postseason play: football, basketball, and baseball. Here's Matt Williams of the Salem News.
I got to look at Salem, right? I mean, 10 tournament games for Salem this year is a high number for them. You know, interestingly, it only came from three different teams, and they, you know, no girls sports made the playoffs for Salem, but you know, we talk about all kinds of strange, obscure, records, that we invent or come up with or whatever. But you know, for Corey Grimes and Rocco Ryan to participate in 100% of their school state tournament games for a given season, I'm guessing that hasn't happened very often.
I'm wondering if a team has played, a school has played double digit playoff games, Willie, and there have been participants in every one of those games before. That's maybe hard to look that up, but that's a great question.
I mean, it's got to be very rare because, you know, again, like most of these schools, you know, first of all, you have to have all your tournament teams just from one gender, right? That's a happenstance. That's not going to happen at a Hamilton Wenham or a Masco or any place like this. So that's kind of rare as it is. And then, you know, to not have another team make it in a given season, you know, like obviously if the boys soccer team makes it, that's impossible because these guys play football, right? So the stars really have to align.
Matt Williams of the Salem News. Lynn Classical Athletic Director Bill Devin is retiring this month. I must say, I always enjoyed going over to Classical to cover either a girls' or boys' basketball game at the school, because you knew you were going to be seeing Bill and experiencing his enthusiasm that he had for his job. This is North Shore Today, giving voice to the North Shore, the area's only daily news and sports podcast. Along with Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell, hoping you have a great Tuesday.
Good evening. My name is Manny Cruz, and I'm the chair of the Personnel Subcommittee of the School Committee. And I'm joined here this evening by my colleagues, Mayor Pangallo, Member Beth Ann Cornell, and Member Mary Manning. Over the past few months, we've been working collaboratively with our partners in the Salem Teachers Union on a new contract. And we've heard loud and clear that the top three priorities for our educators are compensation, parental leave, and planning time. And these priorities do align with our goals as a school committee.
And we're committed to reaching a contract agreement that respects our educators' hard work and professionalism in all that they do. And it's also financially responsible for the city. This process takes time. We've been at it for a while. We're going to keep at it. The current teacher's contract expires at the end of August.
Because achieving competitive and sustainable compensation levels will take additional time and collaboration, today we proposed a one-year contract that would have allowed the school committee and the Salem Teachers Union to plan a longer-term compensation strategy. Our one-year contract proposal was an effort to address teachers' three major concerns and included a one-year salary increase, a generous paid parental leave policy to be incorporated into the next three-year contract, and increased prep time for teachers and support staff also to be incorporated into the next three-year contract.
And with regard to the compensation, we proposed a one-year 4.25% cost of living adjustment for all STU union members. And in that 1 year four point two five COLA for most of the paraprofessionals as well. But we did do an equity-based adjustment for our paraprofessionals who needed the biggest compensation boost. So we provided a 7% cost of living adjustment for our building-based subs and our instructional paras. These numbers exceed the average COLA that we have offered in other settled contracts, and it also represents the highest COLA that we've offered in Salem in recent memory.
As a school committee, we support paid parental leave. Our proposal, which offered 4 weeks of paid leave and equal benefits for spouses and partners employed within the district, is among the most generous in the state.
As a committee, we also acknowledge the importance of adequate planning time for both educators and support staff in the system. We offered a proposal today that would have brought a level of equity to the system, which is quite frankly lacking at this point. The disparity between planning time at the middle and high school levels versus the early childhood and elementary, we acknowledge that. We're looking to solve that and to bring more equity into what teachers have across the system. At this point, our focus was on the two lower levels, elementary and early childhood, and we are looking ahead to working in the future on looking at the high school schedule. At this point, our proposal does not reach the level that we would like to have every teacher be working with, but it is what we feel we can do at this time, and it does provide equity to the system.
So, regrettably, while this one-year proposal was rejected, the good news is that we have six more sessions scheduled throughout the summer in which we'll be working with our partners in the Salem Teachers Union to be able to address these top priority issues along with the other 70 proposals that have been laid across the table on both sides. So we're going to keep working hard as a committee over the summer for as long as it takes to work on a three-year deal.